Today is a very special day, not only because it's Halloween, but because we have some very special guests in the studio today. I have Fawn Lily White. Hey, Fawn.
Hi.
And I have Woody White. Hey, Woody.
How's it going?
And they're here today to share a little bit of their culture with us and some of their beautiful music from their home country. And I'm going to leave my talking at that, and I'm going to let you guys, you know, share with us a little bit about where you're from, what your heritage is, and how you grew up, and the things you're going to share with us today.
Okay. My name is Fawn, and I moved to Nome about 5 years ago as a volunteer for the United Methodist Church. And so I've been here ever since, and then my brother moved up. When
I moved up here 3 years ago, so like she said, we're from Oklahoma. We come from two different tribes. On our mom's side, we're Ponca, from the Ponca tribe, and on our dad's side, we're from the Cherokee Nation. We grew up on our we grew up with our mom's side a lot, and we picked up a lot of our ways more than from our father's side. But we grew up in a Methodist church on our reservation at home, and our grandparents were both Methodist ministers within the church there. And a lot of our churches at home, we sing our own tribal hymns. So we grew up singing our tribal hymns, and so today we're going to sing some hymns for people of Nome.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming again. And what's the name of your first song you're going to sing?
This first song we're going to sing is a Ponca hymn. We don't really have names for our songs. We just kind of sing them. But this first song, it talks about Jesus, and it's just asking Jesus to come and be with us and to help take care of us. You know, maybe we're going through hard times, And specifically, it talks about today, you know, it's kind of like a prayer. So it's asking, you know, today, you know, Jesus, come and be with us, be by our side, and help us out through the day. So
we all need that. I'll let you do your thing.
All right, here we go. Jesus, one day, we mumble, we mumble, who do we have, mumble, take, we carry, bother, we mumble. Jesus, one day, ho. We mumble, ho, we mumble. Who do we have, mumble, take, we can, we bother, we mumble. Jesus, one day, ho. We mumble, ho, we mumble. Jesus, one day, ho, we mumble, ho, we mumble. Who do we have, mumble, take, we can, we bother, we mumble. Jesus, one day, ho, we mumble, ho, we mumble. Who do we have, mumble, take, we can, we bother, we mumble. Jesus, one day, ho, we mumble, ho, we mumble.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful song. I'd like to learn a little more about your home and what it's like living there, and a little about your culture, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah. We grew up on the White Eagle Reservation, and it's in northern Oklahoma. And that's where we were born and raised. And we moved to Tahlequah, which is in western Oklahoma, in eastern Oklahoma with the Cherokee people. That's where my dad's tribe is from. So we picked up a little bit of Cherokee over there. But it's a lot like, even though we're thousands of miles apart, it's a lot like Nome and the villages around Nome. You know, even though Native people, you know, we're so far apart, but we have a lot of similarities, and I think that's part of the reason why I feel so much at home. Why Nome is my home now. It's you know, it's very, very similar, and there's so many great things about the Native people, and you know, also the everyone else from Nome, that makes me feel like this is my home too. So it's very similar.
And we're glad to have you. We're glad you're here. You're doing a lot of great things.
Thank you.
You and your family. Thank you. So you have a couple more hymns that mm-hmm. you want to share, I know, but could you tell me a little about the Ponca culture? I know a lot of people, you know, we don't spend our time learning about other Native nations in our great nation. There are so many. There's over 500. And when I heard you say that you're Ponca, that's really a tribe I had never heard of before in my life. You know, I've heard of Choctaw, Cherokee, you know, Navajo, and there's a lot of them I've heard of, but I've never heard of Ponca. And are they originally from the Oklahoma area, or were they part of that relocated group of people?
Our Ponca tribe, originally we came from the northern part of Nebraska and the south part of South Dakota. In the 1880s, 1890s, our people were moved by the government to Oklahoma, along with many other tribes. So we was relocated there, like she said, in the north central part of Oklahoma. We still have a band up there in Nebraska. We have one kind of like a, I guess he's famous, but his name is Chief Standing Bear. So he was one of the first civil rights leaders within the country here. Our people were moved to Oklahoma. He had a son who his dying wish was to go back to Nebraska and be buried in Nebraska in his homelands. And so Chief Standing Bear went against the rules, you know, went against the government, and he took a small band and took his son back to Nebraska, and you know, had to deal with a lot of troubles and a lot of things, and eventually, you know, he didn't get to be a part of our tribe anymore because of the government, you know, and so they made their own little band back home in Nebraska. But our people have been in Oklahoma for, you know, since 1880s, 1890s, on our little reservation there. You know, the missionaries came in, and we have a lot of churches on our reservation, different denominations. And like I said, we grew up in a Methodist church. Also, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, were really involved within the Native American church. Was kind of the first modern-day Christian religion, I guess, like that, within our people back in Oklahoma. And a lot of our hymns come from that Native American church. They sing them different style, a different way. You know, we use a drum and a gourd, and we use different instruments, and have different sacraments. So when we kind of moved, transitioned to modern-day Christian churches, we brought our songs with us, and on our Ponca side, we brought our songs with us, and we switched them up, and then, you know, we made them sound different, same words and same things. So a lot of our old songs come from that Native American church. Some of them have been composed, you know, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and then some of them are just real old prayer songs that, you know, we kind of switched them around so that we would be able to sing them within our church. And so that's where we get our songs at today. So
it's so interesting learning about different Native nations from our country here. I think that since I've had this show, I've learned more, mm-hmm. you know, about the Native nations in this country than I ever have in my life, because I've had to do my research yeah. on every single artist, you know, where are you from? I want to be able to share that with yeah. people, because it's very important. Mm-hmm. It's very important to me. So I know you were talking earlier about how your great-grandparents were part of the Native American church and how they moved some of that. The faiths are very similar, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and how it was an easy transition into the Methodist faith. And I'm wondering if there are any songs or hymns that you're going to share with us today that originate from your great-grandparents or from that era that were brought into the Methodist church?
This next song we're going to sing was kind of composed by a lot of our grandmothers that were involved in the church. So when we were younger, we had a lot of grandmas in our church, you know, and they sang, and we had a lot of strong singers in our church that would sing our hymns, and it was a time in our church that we sang nothing but our own tribal hymns. And you know, those times kind of went away while we was growing up, and now they're coming back. But, the next song we're going to sing has just been, was kind of composed by a lot of our ladies in our church, which have all passed on now. And it's just kind of like a prayer song. So, like I said, some of our old songs, our songs we sing now, our hymns, come from old prayer songs. So, and some of them were from really old, and, you know, we just still sang them, and so we incorporate them into our church, like I said, and so, but...
All right, so we're going to hear another one from you. If you're just joining us out there, thank you for joining us. Happy Halloween. We have special guests on the show today, Fawn Lily White and her brother Woody White from the Ponca Nation, joining us and sharing a really great insight into their culture, their communities, and their faith, and some hymns from their hometown. So thank you for being here, and I look forward to hearing another one.
One day, on the
so nice. Is there a specific name to that song, or is it just known as one of your beautiful hymns?
Yeah, I don't think there's a specific name to it.
So people know that you're going to be singing a certain song by somebody singing the first couple words?
And usually in our tribe, the males are the song leaders. So, I mean, women will sing the songs, but usually men are trained to be the song leaders. And as soon as they start a song off, you know what song they're going to sing, and then you kind of just fall in.
Yeah.
They're really beautiful songs sing you're not getting the full effect with just us two, and there's, you know, churches full and full of people singing these songs, and there's harmony, and it's a blessing to hear these songs.
So, I would love to be there.
Yeah.
I would just love to be there. I was going to say earlier, too, that the way you know which song is coming up next is somebody will start singing the song, and you'll know automatically and you'll be able to identify that song. That's how it is here, too. I remember one of the Native elders that was helping to teach some of the dances, somebody from the audience asked him, how do you know which song you're going to sing next? How does everybody know? And he said, well, somebody just starts singing, and then you know which song you're going to be singing.
Yeah.
Or you could have special requests, you know, and then people will know. So very similar.
Yeah. Yep. And, our Ponca people are known for composing songs and singing songs. And Woody and I come from a long line of chiefs. You know, we're from the chieftain line. So it's something that is passed down. And it's not necessarily you sit down and learn. But it's kind of like, you know, you're around older people, and we've been hearing these songs since we were babies, you know, and you pick them up because you hear them all the time.
So it's a part of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Legacy continues in your family then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like because of who we are and where we come from, we're kind of expected to know these songs and to be able to sing them when we're called upon and things like that.
Gotta stay with the program all the time.
And even though we've been here for so long, you know, even whenever we go home, we're still expected to play that role, which is not a role that, you know, it's something that we're born into. So whenever we're at home, it's fun, get ready for a song. Woody, get ready for a song. And, you know, and sometimes it's not even that, it's just a look. Like if your grandma or your grandpa looks at you and gives you that kind of head nod, and then that means you're up next. You need to get your song ready because you're singing next.
So does Woody just start singing the song and then you know which
one?
Yeah, and
then everybody jumps in. So we were kind of like, well, what are we going to sing? I don't know. And so, I mean, I'll follow you. You start them and then I'll just jump in. So,
It must be beautiful to be around during family gatherings.
Yeah, it's nice. It's so nice to be around just so many people that are, you know, can sing and know our native songs and know how to lead them and sing them.
And so does your family still speak the Ponca language, or is it a strong language, or is there still some?
It's dying. It's dying out, and I know within a lot of tribes, it's there's a revitalization that's going on. So it's kind of, you know, it's happening in our tribe, but it's definitely one of the tribes that it died out for a while. I mean, there's still people that spoke it. But, you know, with my grandma and my grandfather going to boarding school, you know, they weren't allowed to speak their language. So whenever they had children, they didn't teach the language to their children. And because it was not allowed. Yeah. So it's kind of something that it's sad, but, you know, we've retained our songs and knowledge of what they mean and what the words mean. So,
yeah, I think we're almost in the same situation up here, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so it's such a treat having you. You guys want to sing another, share another with us?
So my dad's Cherokee, and like I said, we went to high school at an Indian school in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. It's called Sequoia Indian School, and it was a boarding school back in the day. So my dad went to school there, and his dad went to school there. We went to school there and we graduated from there, but my parents moved there also to the town. So we went to a Methodist church there, and it was a Cherokee church. So we weren't really too familiar with our Cherokee side, because my dad, you know, grew up. He told me once he grew up Ponca, because him and my mom met whenever they were so young. So that's, those are the ways that he knows. But so we learned, we picked up a lot of Cherokee things at church there. So the song that we're going to sing next is called One Drop of Blood. And their songs are different because they all have names. And it could be because, you know, they're one of the five civilized tribes. So they're kind of a little different than our Plains tribe. But so this one is called One Drop of Blood. And it was composed, I've heard lots of different stories about it, but you'll see where it's really slow and somber at first, and then at, towards the end it kind of picks up. But it's also called the Trail of Tears song. So it kind of follows the, you know, whenever Cherokee people were removed from North Carolina, South Carolina, that area, and removed to Oklahoma, it was kind of, you know, it was a sad time. It was scary. And so you can kind of see where it was slow. And then, but, you know, now we're thriving and things are good. So it's kind of, it's picking up towards the end. So this is One Drop of Blood. Da 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 ja ya. Da ne li ji sa. O ga je li jai ga wi yu hi. O ga li ga li. Ya ha ku ye no. Jogi la wi sta ne di. O ga je li ga. Jai ga wi yu hi. Ja je li ga no. Jai ga wi yu hi. O ga je li ga. Jai ga wi yu hi. Ja je li ga no. Jai ga wi yu hi. O ga je li ga, jai ga wi yu hi, ja je li ga no, jai ga wi yu hi. O ga je li ga, jai ga wi yu hi, ja je li ga no, jai ga wi yu hi.
That song is really, really touching, and it has a lot of meaning. I've played that song before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've heard it on the radio?
Yeah.
And it's such a very, very... when I first found it on the internet, I was like, ouch, mm-hmm. you know, I've got to play that song. That song means a lot to a lot of people in this country. So, and I don't think a lot of people realize that we have a lot of very unique and very powerful stories mm-hmm. out there. So if you have time, come by and do that story 49 here at Kano. You have a lot to share, so thank you.
Yeah.
I wanted to share a little bit about our Cherokee side. Like she's, like my sister said, our grandparents grew up at in a boarding school, and they went there when they was real young. So they were still kids, you know, 4 or 5 years old. And they spent a lot of their years there until they were old enough to leave. when my grandfather got old enough, he went to the army, and he went to the it was during the Korean War. So once he got back, was in the 50s during the Relocation Act. So our grandparents on our Cherokee side were taken from our the Cherokee territory there in Northeast Oklahoma, and they were moved to Dallas. So they lived in Dallas for a little while, and our dad and some of our aunts and uncles were born there. But then our grandpa was still in the army, so he was transferred to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, which is in southwest Oklahoma. And then from there, they started working with the BIA and got jobs at Concho Indian School, which is west of Oklahoma City, within the Cheyenne Arapaho people. So our dad and his family grew up there at the Indian school there in their younger years, because our grandpa worked there and our grandma worked there for the BIA. But, you know, when they got old enough to go to Sequoia, which is where our grandparents were there in the 70s, which is the boarding school, where it's kind of changed then, you know, it was more optional, you know, kids got to go there because they wanted to, or even some kids still had to go there, you know. Yeah, they went there. Our father went there. His brothers and sisters went there. And on our mom's side, our grandparents were preachers, and so they moved around to different Indian Methodist churches in Oklahoma, you know, and did their term, you know, 2-3 years. So our grandparents on our mom's side was appointed to the church there within the Cheyenne Arapaho people, and that's where our parents met at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our dad was Fulbe Cherokee, but he had to move around, you know, and he grew up among Cheyenne Arapaho people. Then he went to, you know, to school back in the Cherokee side. Then he had to come back to Cheyenne Arapaho people and met our mom. Then he moved up to the Ponca Reservation where we grew up. And so it was kind of hard for him to pick up his tribal ways and learn things like that, you know, without being there, without being around the elders and learning like that. So once we moved there, you know, it was kind of hard for us to pick up things, but mm-hmm. you know, there was a lot of good people there. And we was talking earlier how as Indian people we have a lot of grandparents, you know, and so, you know, they might not be related to us by blood, you know, or things like that, but just you know, out of respect, you know, out of who they were, we would just call them our grandmas and grandpas. And so once we moved to this Cherokee area, you know, we picked up a lot of grandmas and grandpas, and that's how we learned a lot of these songs. And so
you're very lucky. Mm-hmm. Very lucky people. Mm-hmm. Sounds like your dad has a lot of, you know, even though he moved around quite a lot and couldn't, you know, do the things he wanted to do mm-hmm. culturally, it sounds like he did.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like he ended up really creating a really lasting, powerful, strong, united family.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And like we've been saying, our grandparents were pastors. So in the United Methodist Church a long time ago, and I'm not sure how much they do it now, but they were on circuits and they had to move all the time. So my mom talks about having to move all the time, and that's how they got to Concho. But my grandmother, when my grandfather passed away, she picked up preaching. So she was the preacher, and so she moved a lot of different places. But she, you know, she was a well-respected woman in the Native American community. But she was adopted by, and not like formally adopted, but, you know, culturally adopted, like, oh, this is my sister, you know. And so she was adopted by many different tribes in Oklahoma. So she learned their songs and learned their ways. But one of them is the Kiowa tribe. We have a little sister too. Her name's Elizabeth, and she's Kiowa. So we grew up around those songs. But want to share a Kiowa hymn? Okay.
Dokya I. Dai so pa ham pe do he do kya e te do ki pa ma kya o Jesus ham pe do dai so pa he he te Sai, Debe Dot Sai, Debe Dot Sai, Debe Dot Sai, Kya On, Dok Ya Pe Dok Hi, Kya On, Dok ya pe dok ki kya on, dok ya I dai Sopa Ambuay Dohe Dokya I Dain Sopa Ambuay Dohe Dokya I Dain Doki Pama Kya O Jesus Ambuedo Dain Sopa He He De Bedo Sai De Bedo Sai De Bedo Sai De Bedo Sai Kya On Dokya Pe Doki Kya On Dokya Pe Doki Kya On Dokya I Dain Sopa Ambuay Dohe.
Wow. So does that one have any?
That was just a Kiowa prayer song that, you know, they sing it a lot in Kiowa country, and it's known within our churches in Oklahoma. So usually if you're away from Kiowa country and somebody will call on you for a Kiowa song, or they'll say, you know, can we have a Kiowa song? There's maybe two or three songs from every tribe that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And so that's just one of the songs that a lot of different tribes sing from the Kiowa tribe.
That's beautiful. I love it. I know I saw you at the post office, mm-hmm. Fawn, and you were talking about, Lily Fawn. Saw you guys over at the PO, and you were talking about how you liked hearing that Kiowa song, mm-hmm. that I played. Actually, there's a family here in town that has Kiowa heritage in them, mm-hmm. as well. And that's, mm-hmm. as you know, that's Marjorie Tabone, mm-hmm. and her family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been on the show too a couple of times talking about her Kiowa heritage.
Yeah, yeah.
And her mom and dad are snowbirds, and they, you know.
Real lucky in Oklahoma.
Yeah, all nice and warm right now. Jay.
And another, our Ponca tribe is real close to the Kiowa tribe, mm-hmm. and Kiowas have a lot of their own ways and their own ceremonies, and our Ponca side is the same. And you know, back in the day, we traded a lot, you know, and we even take each other's, you know, ceremonies, take each other's songs, not take, but you know, we always say buy, you know, but not really with money. You know, I heard a story about how Kiowas have gourd dance, and they're the ones that originated that. There's a lot of tribes now all over America that have this gourd dance now, and a lot of the tribes never went to the Kiowa tribe and you know, asked them, you know, formally, you know, we want to do this dance, and, you know, can we have this dance and have ceremonies and giveaways and things like that. And so our grandma's dad, his name was McKinley Eagle. He was the last chief of our tribe, and it was when this was during you know, World Wars, when the veterans came back, they had this gourd dance for him, so within the Kiowa tribe. And so our tribe liked that, you know, and we would go down there and watch it. And so it was our grandpa McKinley, and my grandma told us this story about he loaded up a whole bunch of horses, and a lot of them just went down there, you know, and they had ceremony and gave away all these horses to all the chiefs and the head people down there in Kiowa country, and they was able to bring back this dance. And so there are very few tribes, you know, within America that actually get to do this gourd dance, you know, and, you know, actually went down and had ceremonies and was able to bring it back. And there's a lot of ways within Indian country where a lot of Indians, you know, just want to pick up things that they see, And you know, and think it's
forget
okay.
They forget the protocol.
Yeah, and they don't know the meanings of things, of what they're doing and things like that. And so also, you know, on our Ponca side, like my sister said, we're real strong in our songs. You know, we have a lot of songs, even our powwow songs, our dance songs. We just have, you know, thousands and thousands of songs, which we kind of became famous for that, you know, and also our dances on our men's side, you know, we have Heloshka dance, which is in the powwow world now they call it straight dance. And so that dance came from our tribe, and you know, and then also the fancy dance was originated at our tribe, and you know, now you know, people from all over the world are dancing mm-hmm. these and singing these songs, and not even knowing where they come from, and you know, who composed them and what they're saying, and don't even know the meaning of the dance itself, you know. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's just a little bit about our Ponca tribe. You know, we have a lot of ways that somehow they got out into the world. And even just the powwow now, you know, one of the first powwows was that we had, you know, and you know, because of assimilation and intertribal gatherings and, you know, boarding school era and all this stuff, you know, tribes just kind of mixed together and kind of picked up on things. And so
yeah, we have to be mindful mm-hmm. as Native mm-hmm. people of the protocol, the correct way to share yeah. a song and a dance. Once yeah. you give it, it's theirs, yeah. you know.
And that's, respect is a big thing. And whenever I started singing with the Inupiaq choir at my church here at Community United Methodist Church, and they asked me if I wanted to sing. One of the first times we sang, they were like, everybody needs to wear a cuss book. And I was like, I don't have a cuss book. And they're like, you need to wear one. Here, you can borrow mine. I'm like, I'm not, you know, that's not how I was raised. I can't just borrow your cuss book, you know. And Barb Emmerich is a part of our choir. And I was telling her, I was like, I can't do that. You know, somebody has to give me that right to wear that. So, for Christmas a couple years back, that's what, she gave me a cuss book. So now I feel like I have the right to wear a cuss book.
Nice. That's good. Mm-hmm. And if they told you to wear one, you should have just wore one anyway.
But that, I mean, that's like, good. That's part you of recognize, our tribe, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That there's protocol mm-hmm. and stuff. With cuss books, I think it's a little more informal.
Yeah, and I just wasn't aware of the way that yeah. things were here because I was brand new still.
So mm-hmm. respectful. Mm-hmm. Again, thank you for joining us. This is Lisa Ilana Strickling out of KNOM Studios. Happy Halloween! We have very special guests in the studio today. Lily Fawn White and Woody James White out of Ponca Country, Oklahoma. Cherokee yeah. Country, joining us today in the studio. And they're going to share one last song with us. It's been such a great visit. Thank you again for coming.
Okay, this song is coming from the Choctaw tribe, and the name of it is Choctaw Hymn 21. Real quick story, our tribe started singing these hymns, and the story I heard was, you know, when we had our church at home at the beginning of our Methodist church, the people had a revival, so they invited these Choctaw people up, and then the Choctaws came up and they had all their own hymns. And this was the first time that our people had heard you know, their own native hymns inside of the church building. And so that's when we started singing our own church hymns, was through because of the Choctaw people. And also, you know, we have a lot of Choctaw adopted relatives too. Mm-hmm. So Amba pinchit o kakaya o heli kas pininchi ipi maha chipolaka ioha lopolashki hatakyo shoba miyaha Pinchy sauce, a chokmaka, ilino, kila hilacho, anok fi, likinisa.
That was Choctaw.
Choctaw hymn number 21.
Number 21. Mm-hmm. And you were explaining earlier Choctaw hymns are...
They're by numbers.
Organized mm-hmm. by number, so mm-hmm. that's how they recognize which ones they mm-hmm. are.
So when you say Choctaw hymn number 21, everyone, all the Choctaws know what song it is.
Wow. Yeah. That was a wonderful story earlier about how the Choctaw people brought the native language into the church. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Really grateful to them. Thank you. I didn't know that. That's one of the heroes of our, you know, our forefathers mm-hmm. there. Yep. So thank you. So do you guys want to share one last closing hymn before we close out today?
Amazing Grace.
Sure.
All right.
We'll sing Amazing Grace in Cherokee, and this is another song that we was talking how from different tribes, everybody knows at least one song from this tribe, and you know, there's a lot of people that know Amazing Grace. And so that's what we'll sing to close it out, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Right. And thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we haven't sang in a long time, so thank you.
We have to visit again.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see you on Saturday at the traditional walk at 3 o'clock.
Yes, I'll be there. Traditional walk, 3 o'clock, starting at Nome Eskimo Community.
Yeah.
And you guys have a Halloween festival coming up tonight or tomorrow? Nome Community Center as well?
I think there's one tonight.
Tonight? Okay. Elementary school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'll let you do your thing. Thank you again for joining me.
Une ana iweji iga uya ehi naigwa josa. We lo se iga guya hona ase no hi une jei iya no du le. Jilly, Jilly.